Welcome to the podcast of Kingsway Community Church, a community inspired by love to live differently. If you'd like to connect with us online, join us at one of our churches, make a financial contribution, or discover more about Kingsway, head to www.kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app by simply searching Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this podcast will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
Good evening. Is everyone well? My name's Mike Hardy, and it's a privilege and honour to be invited to share with you for a few minutes tonight. And it's been a fantastic day from what I hear, and it's pretty cool to come to the one and only Kingsway Community Church that has an amazing reputation, truly for its service to the community, dynamic love of God, passion to be real and authentic and genuine, and just an amazing history of saying there's a whole community outside the walls of this complex that needs demonstrated the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. And the amount of times, whether it's social media or word of mouth or people that I know or friends who are part of this community here, that I just hear amazing reports of just the faithfulness of this community, we celebrate and we say, praise God. May the good work continue. Amen? So, also, how good is it when you have husband and wife doing percussion at the same time? How good's that? That's pretty good. And how good is it when you have husband and... You are husband and wife, just checking. Yeah, husband and wife. That could have gone really wrong. You did have your arm around it though, so. Husband and wife, ministering, singing, nice keyboard playing. Yeah, I noticed. Well, tonight we're gonna talk about imagination. And so I'd like you, whether you think you have a good imagination or not, to just believe for a moment that you do. And just try and allow that part of your personality, of your brain, to kind of be switched on. And I want to just ask you a question for a few minutes. For a moment. We won't spend too many minutes on this, and you'll realize why when I ask you the question. The question is this. How old were you 10 years ago? And before you answer it, I want you to yell it out, but I'm stalling for a moment so that you can actually do the maths. And actually think about it. So 10 years ago, it was 2008. How old were you? Now you, hang on, wait. We're all gonna do it together because I don't want one person vulnerably putting out that by themselves. We'll kind of blur it together, all right? Are you ready? One, two, three. Oh, you guys are young, or were. Now, what I want you to do is it's now 2018. I want you to go 10 years ahead. Now, let's just pause for a moment. You know what the last 10 years feels like. Because you can go, oh, wow, that's 2008. I mean, when I think about the 2000s, I always think 2000, white decay, 2001, terrible disaster happened in the world. And I'm like, hang on. 2000 and what? Yeah. That's when my brain goes. And I feel like, that was only a few years ago. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Now I know what my grandparents and my parents were talking about all the time. So you now know what the period of 10 years feels like. You can scan back, not to 2008, that's 10 years. Now what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead 10 years to 2028. And you're going, 2028, that just sounds like forever ahead. We'll never get there. Just like when you were in the 90s and you used to watch the television show Towards 2000. Anyone remember that? And then it became Beyond 2000. And now it's like, let's forget about that. That's so far ago. Now, and it's too early to do Towards 3000. So, I want you to think, it's 2028. How old are you going to be? And this time, I don't want you to call it out. Because I don't want people going home and needing support after this. But I want you to think about this for a moment. How old will you be in 2028? Now, if you think about the last 10 years, you know what that feels like. We're going to do the next 10 years, And before you know it, it'll be 2028. How old are you? And what's this next 10 years been? We have a problem. I know some of you are going, yes, I've got a problem. We have a problem. The problem is that life goes so fast. And the older you get, I don't know what the physics or the science of this is, but it feels like it goes faster and faster. There's some ideas around that we won't get into tonight. But the reality is, before you know it, it'll be 2028. That's not the problem. The problem is that you want to be and you want to do what you're meant to be and do. But often we get stuck. And this requires creative thinking and imagination to consider what kind of a future am I going to live? Are you going to live? Are we as a church community going to have? What will this next 10 years look like? What will it feel like? In 2028, what will we actually celebrate? Is a great way to think about it. But the big problem we have is that we're often too busy to imagine the future. Now, I know you've been talking a little bit about this today, about the possibilities and what could happen. I heard a TED talk by someone you may have heard of called Erwin McManus a few years ago, and he was doing a TED talk on imagination. So I was interested in this, and I watched this TED talk, and there's this point in the talk where he humorously presents the case for humans being unique compared to the animal kingdom. And he does so by saying, for instance, animals can't really imagine possibilities. They don't have the same capabilities as we do, or at least science yet hasn't been able to show us that they can. And he was kind of making the point humorously that you don't really get an annual conference of polar bears getting together to imagine and to consider what we're going to do about climate change, which is in their best interests, right? And so I was thinking about that, and I realized, you know, it's so true. We have, as human beings, a unique and God-given ability to imagine a preferred future, to think about what could be and to think about what should be, and where the gap between our current reality is and what really needs to happen. I got a text message a couple of years ago, and the text message came off the back of a conversation I had with someone in the Sutherland Shire who now identifies or calls themselves an atheist. I think they're actually agnostic. They had once been a church person, and they were experiencing some trauma in their life because someone that worked very near to them had committed suicide. And she was doing the work of what you would say the best pastoral care support person you could imagine in caring for the remaining family and those around them. And she told me what had happened, and whenever you hear this and you realize just one more person is tragically gone from this world who couldn't cope with the pressures, the anxieties, whatever it was, it got to that point. But the aftermath effect of that is significant. And she sent me a text message, and the text message said this: "Can you please find a way?" She knew I was a pastor of a church. "Can you please find a way to get men to talk about their stuff?" And she used different language. And when I got that text message, I was at that moment lying on a lounge in my lounge room watching a television show. And you ever have that moment? This sometimes happens when you're driving. You're driving along, and then 20 minutes later, you freak out and you go, "How did I get here?" Because you don't remember driving. You're thinking, "Did I go through sets of lights? Like, did I almost take people out?" You know, is it your brain has just gone to a different place? You know what I'm talking about? That happened to me on the lounge that night. The TV was in front of me, it was going, but my brain went off into a whole different space. My eyes were open to the reality of what was right in front of me, but my brain took me to an imaginary world in which I started to think about that text message and what would it look like to get men to talk about what's happening in their lives. A couple of years ago, I had an extraordinary experience. It was at a church that I saw. And I took off to go and see this church that I'd heard about. I don't know if you've heard of this church. The church was called Life. And I went to this church. And when I arrived at the church, everything about this place, and I had heard this, struck me as a little different to the norm that I had experienced in church growing up my whole life. And when I pulled up at the venue, I remember looking around and thinking, this does not look like a normal church. Now, you guys don't meet in what looks like a normal church, but this really wasn't like, this was like, have I turned up at a community center meets kind of entertainment complex meets, I don't know what's going on here, but there's a lot of activity going on here. And I pull in, I get out of my parking spot, and I had arranged to already be there, so I get out, and as I walk out, a man in his mid-80s walks up to me and greets me by name. He says, we've been waiting for you, and introduces himself, and then says, I'll show you around. So I'm like, this is impressive. So I'm chatting to him as I walk into the building, and as we walk into the complex, I walk in and I just see people everywhere. And I'm like, it was borderline chaotic and exciting. And I'm looking around, and I said to him, oh, you know, is this the people from your church? Like, is this a women's group happening here? You know, what's going on? There's kids and all sorts of stuff. And he says, oh, no. This is the community group that come in here, and they use our cafe here, and they run all kinds of community initiatives based out of here. So these are all different people from our community here. And I was like, oh, wow, that's fantastic. That's great. I mean, what a great way to use the space. And he was taking me towards meeting the pastor. And the pastor of this church was a lady, and her name, how's this for a name? Her name was Imago White. What's your surname's White? Anyway, Imago White. Her middle name is Day. Imago Day. Do you know what that means? Who knows what that means? Image of God. Is that like the greatest name ever for someone? I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, were you like born in a church? Like, what happened? How did that happen? And so anyway, I meet this lady, and she's just this, you know, really fascinating lady who leads this church community. And I start chatting to her, and she starts showing me around the rest of the place, and the other man goes off to, you know, his job, by the way, was walking around like the court jester, basically just meeting people. That's what his job is. He didn't retire. He just got a new job where he didn't get paid, and his job was going around welcoming and making sure that anyone who came onto their complex just felt welcome. What a great thing. And I was already going, oh man, that's a great idea. And when you're a pastor of a church, you're always looking for ideas for things. So I'm walking along, and we come to a corridor, and along the corridor, there's a whole bunch of photos. You know, like you probably have it in your church here. You have the wall that's got all the different pictures and the memories of things that's happened in the life of the church. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? And as I'm walking along, you know, we stop, and I start looking at all these different images, and there were a whole bunch of these photos that I was like, what is going on here? So I say to this pastor, Imago, I say, you know, tell me about some of these pictures. And what caught my eye first was a picture of this lady pastor with an Islamic leader, an imam, in a photo, and they're standing next to each other. And I'm like, you know, what's this? And she says, oh, you know, you probably won't believe me, but this is amazing. She said, we were reading in scripture about how we are to be people of peace. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we're to be peacemakers. And we were challenged about what would it look like to be peacemakers in the world. And we went, people don't think that Christians and people of the Islamic faith should really hang out because of our ideologies and differences of religious concepts and all of that are being so different. So we thought, wouldn't it be amazing if we actually made contact with a local Muslim leader and befriended that person? And I'm like, I wanted to go, you did that? Like, you're a woman. How does this work? You know, my brain is just spinning out. And she says, yes, we did. We reached out and we communicated that we were a local Christian church and that we'd like to basically introduce ourselves and hear their story and their journey of what it's like being a religious community in Australia. And the long and the short of it was that they ended up meeting together on a fairly regular basis and becoming friends. An amazing thing. My brain was ticking away, just thinking, whoa. I then pointed at another picture on the wall and I saw a whole group and I said, oh, is this picture on the wall, is this your men's groups away on a retreat? And she said, no, that's not our men's groups and that's not, they're not from our church. This is actually a group of men. We decided, someone came up with the idea, which was, we have groups for all the people in our church, but what about people who don't come to our church? Don't they get to be in a group? And I'm like, don't they just come along to your church if they want to be in a group? She's like, no. And she's like, no, we've got to create groups. So this guy in the church gets this idea, why don't we just have connect groups for people that aren't followers of Jesus? I'm like, what? Messing with my head. So she said, so yeah, now we have these groups in the community that meet together. And this particular photo that I was looking at was a group of men meeting together, and they meet together to do two things. One, dream up what it would be like to resolve problems and challenges that they see in the community. And the second thing when they meet together is to talk about the stories of their own lives. I'm like, that is brilliant. I want the Christian men in my own church to do that. And she's going, oh, if only we had time, I could tell you so many stories about that. And so I'm listening to this, and then we walk along a little bit further on, and we walk to their what I thought was their office area, and I look and I say, how many staff do you have at this church? And she says, oh, these people aren't our staff. We don't have that many people on staff with our church. I said, so who are all these people in your offices? And she said, well, when we started the church, we decided, wouldn't it be cool if actually we could have some office space used by other businesses and people in the community, and perhaps even some community groups that couldn't afford to have their own office space, and then they could share the office space with us. And she said, and it does help a little bit with the bills. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. And she said, but the amazing thing we did was we made a common eating area so that all the different people from these different businesses will come together and they'll hang out and they'll rub shoulders. And so at lunchtime, you've got this IT guy over here and he's chatting to one of our pastoral staff just over lunch. And then they go back and do their work and they're like, what's happening in your business? What's happening in your work? And they're like, what's happening in your church work? You know, and like, interesting conversations happen. And I'm like, well, we're sort of saying this quietly. And I'm like, this is amazing. I'm thinking, I want to work here. It was one of those moments. And then we walked down the corridor a little bit more, and I noticed, because I'm musically interested, I noticed there's a recording, like a music recording studio down the end. And I'm like, oh, can we have a look at this? And so we walked towards, we have a look at this studio, and I said, is this where you do your church album recordings? It was getting a little bit awkward how many times she said to me, no. And she says, no. And I said, what are you doing here? She said, well, we realized we had all these kids in the community that didn't have a lot of money, but there was incredible creativity amongst these kids we were working with in the community. So we thought, wouldn't it be amazing if we could create a recording studio space where they could come in and at minimal cost actually begin to create songs and music that expressed their art and what they were interested in. And I'm standing there thinking, sign me up. This is awesome. And so much more I don't have time to tell you about. But one of the conversations that I had as I was gearing up to leave after, you know, a whole bunch of things, I was, you know, my brain was just spinning out, was I asked the question to Imago, this pastor. I said, how did you get all of this to happen? Because I'm trying to understand the leadership. I'm trying to understand the mindset behind it. I'm like I'd love to have this. This would be amazing to experience this. And this is what she said. We took time to imagine what could and should be, and then we acted courageously. We took time to prayerfully imagine, were her words, and then courageously acted. And at this point, I was very challenged. I learned a lot from this experience. Imagination and courage, which is expressed as faith, can result in an amazing future. The challenge for us, though, as God's people, as followers of Jesus, is for us to actually have a kingdom of heaven lens. And I think when I say that, a lot of you will know what I'm talking about when I say this. I wear glasses. How many people wear glasses here? How many people should be wearing glasses? How many people are thinking, 10 years from now, I will need glasses? Okay. These glasses help me see the world a particular way. When I take my glasses off, if I go, you know, into the surf, or if I do some sport activity where glasses aren't going to be appropriate, I take them off and I don't see things as I need to see things. So when I put these lenses on, it helps me see what I'm meant to see. And in the same way, we need to be able to put on, as followers of Jesus, kingdom of heaven lenses that actually helps us to have a worldview and see the world, see the future, see the possibilities that you've been talking about and dreaming about today through kingdom of heaven lenses. Because everyone's got an imagination. And you can use your imagination for evil, or you can use your imagination for good. And people throughout history have clearly done that. And the challenge for us as followers of Jesus is to actually think about the prayer that Jesus invites us to in Matthew 6. This is really not so much the Lord's prayer as it is the prayer of the disciples. Where when they ask him, how do we pray like how you pray? He says, pray like this, our Father in heaven. Or Abba Father, meaning you can have close relationship with this God, this creator, who wants you to understand his ways. And we pray these words, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And often when we think heaven, we point to the sky because we always think that heaven's a little bit past wherever, you know, Elon Musk's rocket's going to go next. You know, like, yeah, it's out there somewhere. So we point up. But heaven is the realm of where God is and the way things are meant to be. Ultimate shalom, the peace and the wholeness and the goodness of God, the way things are meant to be. And so when we pray and we use our imagination, we're prayerfully considering, what does it look like to invite God into our hearts, our lives, to truly transform our will in such a way that the way things are in the kingdom of heaven becomes the reality here in the kingdom, or the kingdoms of this world we call earth. And the phrase that the lady told me that they use so often in their church environment is, our imagination is stimulated wherever we find hell. Wherever we find hell and we see things that are not the way God intends things to be, we begin to prayerfully imagine, what would it look like if Jesus arrived right here? But we're not going to put it all back on Jesus and say, come back and fix it all up, as good as that would be and will ultimately be. But we're actually choosing to surrender and actually be engaged in the prayer he taught us to pray, so that we actually see ourselves as the body of Christ, the actual incarnated, meaning in flesh, here we are here, there is hell, this is not the way God intends things to be. And so now we are going to together imagine what would it look like if God's kingdom of heaven was to move through this environment or this place or this problem in this situation. And now our brain begins to be stimulated. This is where we begin the conversation of perhaps 10 years ago or 11 years ago tomorrow, we started our church, Thrive Community Church. And before we started the church, there was a passage of scripture in 1 Samuel 14:6, where Jonathan says to his armor bearer, when all of Israel was scared to take on the Philistines and the armies that they were against, he decides, well, something has to happen. And he says to his armor bearer these words, perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. And I remember going, hang on a second, man of faith, perhaps, what are you talking about? Perhaps. That's not what godly people say. You don't say perhaps, or maybe God might do something. You say, God has told us, this is the word of the Lord, this shall come to pass. No, he says perhaps. That became my favorite verse, because I was then like, hey, this church doesn't exist, but perhaps God might just use our small little group to actually do some good and see some people discover the vision of the kingdom of heaven and what it means to follow Jesus and life in the kingdom. And maybe we can be part of that. And so that just became a catchphrase in which we began to imagine, what would it look like to prayerfully imagine and then take courageous action? So my question is, for you, what can you imagine? what could be, what should be. Now, we ask this in humility, the kind of humility that comes from walking in the power of the Spirit. But there comes a point where we have to act courageously, because lots of people have good ideas, but the follow through and the courage to actually say, I'm going to do the thing that we prayerfully imagined as a possibility that we sense God might be calling us to engage in, where we see the kingdom of heaven come wherever we see hell. So my challenge to you would be this. What does it look like to take time to imagine what could and what should? Do you need to create some space? Do you need to get on the lounge while the TV's going and imagine and go off to another place? Do you need to go for a long drive where you forget where you've actually driven, but you got so caught up in the possibilities of what could be for your life, for your church community, that everything begins to change? That would be pretty cool, right? And then comes the moment where with God's empowering presence with us, we say it's time to actually take the first step and do something about this. Now, I want to thank you for listening to me for the last few minutes. And I want to say this. The church that I told you about, how many people are like, do you want to know where it is, by the way? Who would like to go visit that church I was telling you about? Who would like to go meet that pastor? Yeah, unfortunately, I can't actually tell you where, because I just imagined that whole thing in my head. I dreamed up, imagine if we realize we're made in the image of God. And we could actually get into the space where we imagine the possibilities of what could happen. And let me tell you how this works. A year or so ago, after having this imaginary story go over my brain about a pastor who meets an Islamic leader and actually befriends that person, I thought, maybe rather than just imagine it, I should consider what it would look like if that actually happened in my own life. And my moment came when I was watching television one night and an Islamic leader was on a national television program in Australia in a discussion on TV and shared about his experience of living, of working down in the Sutherland Shire and walking along the street and being called out by passing cars, people calling out Muslim pig as he drove past, and what it's like to live in a country your whole life and be called that. This guy is a senior engineer at the Caltex plant in the Sutherland Shire and a community leader in the Islamic tradition that he's a part of. He's a mover and a shaker. And so I felt this is your moment to actually courageously step into what you imagined could be a possibility. So I contacted the television station, long story short, I gave them my details. They contacted him. He rang me the next day. I was standing in the church building where I was, and I get this phone call from this man who says, thank you. And we have this big, long conversation on the phone. He says, let's meet up. So we meet up for coffee and we sit down and we trade each other's stories. And I look this man in the eyes and I realize this man is my brother. We want the same things. We hope the same things for our kids. I realize we have more in common than we actually have difference of opinions and different ideas about. He doesn't think Jesus is the Son of God. I do. But it's amazing how many things we had in common. And you know what? We've become friends. It's amazing what happens when you imagine. Years ago, my wife and I, we were blessed to have a little girl as our own birth child and then weren't able to have any other children. And we imagined what it would look like after I'd been reading a scripture one day, thinking about how God adopts us into the family of God. And the thought went off in my head, what would it be like? Because I'd imagined this when I was young. What would it be like if we would imagine adopt a little person into our family? So we began the long process that we had to act courageously on. After prayerfully imagining it, it was a long, tough journey until a year ago when a little boy, we got the phone call. Again, I was in the downstairs of the church building where I was, and my wife rings me on the phone. She says, are you sitting down? And I said, no. Should I? She said, you should. So I found a box and I sat down. I think it was a speaker box from memory. I sat down on this box and she says, all right, I hope you're holding on to something. You know how we've been praying and we said if we had a little boy, we'd like this boy to be called such and such. And I just, I'm bracing myself. She says, they have a little boy and he's ready to come into our family and his name is Jacob. That's the name we went. If we were to have our own little boy, we'd like to call a boy Jacob. Now, this sort of stuff doesn't happen to me all the time, just so you know. This is weird. This is out there. This is a God thing, whatever you want to call it. But I was just like, oh my goodness, we imagined that this could happen. And then we took through prayer and support and family, that hard, difficult, long road towards the day when he came into our family. And it's still a challenging road, but I just go, imagine what if. So my challenge to you tonight is for you to ask the question for your life 10 years from now. For Kingsway Community Church, for your ministry area, for your life as an individual, what would it look like if you were to prayerfully imagine the future that God wants to see happen? Can I pray for you? Father, help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us to dream and imagine the way you want things to be. Help us to think about what could be and what should be, and wherever we see hell, to bring heaven as your life and your spirit fills and refreshes and guides and leads us into the places of adventure, the possibilities of things that we never could have thought of. But because we're created uniquely in the image of God, we actually have the capacity to imagine and to dream and to use the faculties you've given us to create a future that will honor you and bring blessing to the world. And we ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much for listening to me. Dave.
Doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it was written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And he says, but we have received the mind of Christ. And you see, it is no accident or coincidence that we are where we are right here today. In fact, a couple of months ago, we imagined what would it be like if we ran a thing called a staycation where we would gather to hold hands with reality and hold hands with the future and walk hand in hand with those things and ask some big questions. And we were sitting around the lunch table just out here in the cafe one Monday, and we were talking about this, and I said, hey, I remember hearing Mike preach this message on the imagination. It'd be really great if he could come and do this, because I think it's going to be fitting. And next minute, someone walks in the door and says, Mike Hardy's in the car park. I'm like, are you serious? Yeah. I said, well, go and get him, because we need to ask him if he's going to come and speak. So months ago, there was this random moment where we were literally planning our staycation, and Mike turned up in the... This was a concept of a reality now of, I guess, imagination, and God had blessed it. But even more than that, there was no sharing of notes between what Mike brought to us tonight, even in terms of where he took us in our imagination down the track and to the activity that we did this afternoon. We didn't quite go 10 years. That probably scared me a little bit too much, because then I'll be 44 and not 39. And I can deal with 39. 44 is a whole different ball game. It's a great year, a blessed year. But this afternoon, we did this. There was some imagination. Now, as I've just read this scripture, I'm convinced that what was penned this afternoon from the hearts, and not just the minds, but the hearts of many of us here, wasn't just good ideas. But the truth of the scripture is that we have received the mind of Christ, that the spirit that dwells within us is not the spirit of the world, that we have received the spirit of God. And we know his mind. In fact, at the moment of our salvation, we receive the mind of Christ. And what has been penned on over 30 of these pages, imagining 2023, is not just someone's good idea, but inspiration from the mind of Christ himself. And can I just encourage us tonight with what... I've got no idea who wrote these. They're anonymous. But here's something of our imagination. Here's something of our community imagining a preferable future. It was a little bit silly. We wrote to Cynthia. We don't know who Cynthia is, but we just needed a name. So we wrote, Dear Cynthia, wow, you would not believe how much our church has grown. And I don't mean in number. We have become one people on fire for God. Each member of the body, our church, operating in their gifting. People are getting healed and set free, delivered from oppression. In unity, we meet together both in and out of the church, just doing life together, sharing Jesus with those who cross our paths, feeding the hungry, taking care of the orphans and widows, housing the homeless. We worship with abandoned hearts. Agenda takes second place to the Holy Spirit. There is such hunger as we all lean in, press in, go deeper to bring God glory. People actually seek us now to find what we carry. We are without fear, completely submerged in the Word and Spirit and the love of the Father. The name of Jesus never parts from our lips and hearts. There is a place for everyone. No one gets left behind. We see things as Jesus sees them, and we do what He does. Miracles, signs, and wonders, which used to seem so strange, are commonplace. We are known as a place of healing and refuge and a place of love. Dear Cynthia, it has been 5 years since I wrote to you, and I apologize for that. No need to apologize. She's not real. I hope that you are well and are growing in your love for God. At least we believe she's saved. That's a good thing. So much has been happening for me and for the church at Kingsway. Despite my ever-increasing age, I have still been able to serve on the worship team at church, a team of some 50 musicians and singers who are united in their desire to engage the congregation in powerful worship sessions where lives are changed and healing and deliverance are an everyday outcome. Praise be to God. Through the generous provision of the Lord, our Platform 9 project now has its own permanent premise in the Shire and is seen as best practice in the area of emergency housing and successful rehousing for needy families. The local paper has reported on it as what churches should be doing. And many local churches have come on board to support its work. No one thought that greater unity between the local churches would be a byproduct of this work when it began some 8 or so years ago. There is a new hope for the parents of our ever-increasing children's group who are fast approaching their teenage years and have a vibrant and active youth program to graduate into, whereas 5 years ago, this was a real area of need and concern for us all. Though we are all 5 years older, there has been an exponential growth in encounter with the Holy Spirit and Christian maturity, many of those who are partners here at Kingsway. God is good, all praise be to Him. Man, there is a collective power in the mind of Christ that we carry together. Imagine if. And as I said today, this time that we are in is not a time of idea generation or planning. We are listening. We are prayerfully listening to what God is saying to us. And we don't want to move from that place until we have a deep confidence of where it is that God is asking us to place our feet and what He is calling us to pursue. And so we won't move until we have a sense to which we know that God is calling us forward. We know that we hold the hand of reality and we hold the hand of possibility. But yet the two things that Mike has encouraged us around tonight are the inescapable things by which we will be grounded. And that is listening prayerfully and acting courageously. And I believe that with those two things held in tension, that we will, as the scripture says, not be able to even imagine the things that God has in store for us who love Him. And so I am personally excited, and I trust that you are too. I sense it. And I know that what God has for us is only going to be, it has to be His blessing. We are His people doing His work, preaching the gospel of Jesus and bringing worship to His name. It is only a recipe for God to move powerfully in this community. So let us stay the course. Let us be faithful in that. And let's commit this evening and our lives to Jesus right now. Father, in this room, we come from different moments and experiences on the journey of faith with You. And that's great. You love that. You love that we all come with our uniqueness. We all come with our experience. We all come with different understanding, different levels of knowledge, different revelation of who You are, different passions and different skills, and that is a delightful thing in Your eyes. You see us as a family of people who are equipped to do Your will on earth as it is in heaven. And You are eagerly anticipating what will come of this, what will come of us, what will be of this people. And Father, we only just get a glimpse of that now. Father, what we have been through today, what we have experienced tonight, what we're seeing in the Holy Spirit right now is just but a glimpse, a small understanding of what you have for us. So God, I pray that you would give us the patience to hear, to sit and to listen, to ask the questions that we may have previously been too afraid to ask, to sit in uncomfortable places where we may have previously felt too uncomfortable. Father, that we would ask big things of you where we have previously come to you with meager requests. That you would give us the courage to come before you, the God and creator of all things, who spoke the very world into motion. Father, may we come to you with our voices and ask big things. And may you give us the courage to breathe the words, perhaps. Perhaps you are with us, but Father, let us not take the risk. Let us step forward in boldness and in courage, knowing that you are always faithful, that you are always with us, and that you will always be with us as we go. And Father, we bless your name. We give you glory. And we pray that we would have a greater understanding of the mind of Christ within us and to see the things that he sees. All for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.